Again, I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. I'll give you a little background, a little history where we're at this morning. We've been studying through the book of Luke. We took a week off last week. My brother had a successful kidney transplant surgery last week, but he had a little slight hiccup. He spent 5 days in the ICU. Is unnormal. They cut in. They had to cut into his bowel and do a bowel dissection. And because of that, that didn't really cause any of his issues, but that took a longer surgery. He spent 12 hours in surgery instead of 5 hours in surgery. And but the kidney is functioning superbly. His kidney is functioning far better than my kidney is functioning. I have my original kidney. He's using three kidneys, and I have one, and I'm kind of jealous. I was hoping I'd get my other one back, but no successfulness in that. I hung around for a long time waiting for it. He wouldn't give it up. So he's kind of greedy. And his kidney is functioning. His son's kidney is functioning well. My nephew is doing really well. I told him, I said, when you show your scars to people, you tell them you got shot four times and had a C-section. And so that'll give you lots of great stories. So the way they do that surgery now is it's like a gallbladder surgery. You get four little holes here, and then they just give you a little cut right down here. And so that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like you had a little C-section and a little four gunshot wounds right here in his gut. And so, hey, you know, he's 18. He needed a story. He was mad that he didn't get a big cut like his uncle's got. And he really was upset. But, you know, he's 18, and so he's got a picture. I actually have a picture of his kidney. It looks like a cube steak. And if you want to see it, I'll show it to you. It's kind of weird. They're doing great. And so because of the hiccup, he had an issue with his heart. My brother did. He was laying in bed on Wednesday at night, and all these people just showed up in his room and said, "How you doing?" And he's like, "I'm doing just fine. What are you all in here for?" And they're like, "Your heart's at 195. And his blood pressure was like 190 over whatever. And they said, "You're not doing all right." And so then they come in with all the EKG machines, and 40 doctors showed up and 800 nurses. And the room was only about as big as this pulpit. So next thing you know, off to ICU we went. In 5 days we spent in ICU. And so I lived at the hospital for the whole time I was out there, from Tuesday when I got there, Monday night. Tuesday we went to the hospital until I left on Thursday this week. But my brother's doing great. He's home. I thank you for all your prayers, your concerns, and everything. They're doing good, but his kidney's doing great. And they got his heart under control and his blood pressure under control, and not really sure why all that happened. And so we praise God for all of that. I tell you all of that because it really ties into the message today. I had a person ask me if I was preaching today, because being gone so long, if I really had time to prepare for the message. And I told him, I said, "I've been preparing for this message ever since I was in Romania." I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago that there was a reason why I was preaching through Luke 5, and it was to get to this point in the message. All of the messages that I have preached to you already was just to get to this place in the passage of Scripture. I felt that you needed to have some context to understand this passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 5, to understand what Jesus was really talking about when he gets here to Luke chapter 5 and 27 through 32. And not even really the call of Matthew, more so than what Matthew did after he was called. It's not so much Matthew's call, although we're going to talk about Matthew's call for a minute, but it's more about what Matthew did after the call and what Jesus had to say about what Matthew did after the call. Because that's important. And I didn't tell you about the hospital stay and what went on with my brother so you could think that what I did had anything superb or super, because really none of that matters. I don't want you to think about anything and say, "Oh, poor you," and all of that. And I told my brother if he stayed a couple more days, I could have went to the races on Saturday. But no, he got out on Thursday, so God obviously didn't want me to go to the races on Saturday, which is probably okay. But we did get to meet a race car driver on Thursday, so yay for us. But when we look at the passage of Scripture and we look at Luke, and so for those of you that's not been here for all of the other messages, I just want to give a little synopsis and bring you up to where we have been and what we have gone through. And so in Luke chapter 5, in the beginning, we talked about, I am a sinful man. And Jesus comes on the scene in the beginning of Luke chapter 5, and he sees a crowd, and he sees a boat that Peter and his compadres have just come in from fishing all night, and they're tired. And Jesus comes to the boat, he comes to Peter, and he says, yo, Peter, I'll give you the 2016 version. He says, yo, Peter, yo, put me out in the water a little way so I can talk to these people. And the Bible says, even though he was tired, Peter said, okay. And the point is that when we are tired, we still need to be obedient to God. That when we are tired, and let me tell you folks, we are tired people. I have people all the time ask me, are you tired? I'm tired all the time. I had a good friend of mine text me yesterday and just asked me when I got home, and I texted him, I said, yeah, sorry. I didn't text anybody when I got home yesterday. I had a couple people text me and they said, we're mad you didn't text us when you got home. I didn't text anybody when I got home. So you can all be mad, okay? Even my mother, I didn't tell her I got home Saturday. As soon as I got home, I got out of the car. I dealt with City Hall. I dealt with something else. I mowed my grass. I did a couple other things, and I ate some dinner. I watched a little TV. I went to bed. That's what I did when I got home Saturday. There you go. Friday. Yeah, because Saturday I went to a football game and I went to a birthday party. Well, I put on a birthday party. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm always tired, right? Aren't you always tired? We're always all tired, are we not? Amen? Hallelujah? Everybody say hallelujah because you're all tired, right? So when God calls us to do something, we're already tired. So in the illustration of Peter, when God calls, we just got to be ready to serve, because just like Peter, we just got to be ready to serve. And so then Jesus gets done speaking to the crowd and he says to Peter, push out into the water and throw your nets over on this side here to catch fish. And Peter says, yo, Lord. Yo, buddy, I know you're a preacher, and that's great, and preaching's what you do, pal, but man, I'm a fisherman, and we already fished all night, and we didn't catch nothing, and so, bub, I don't know what you're thinking, but throwing this net in this water isn't going to work. I'll illustrate that for you a different way. Yo, young preacher, I know you just got to this church, but we've been here 35 years, and we've tried all that stuff, and none of it's worked. So stop telling us what to do. Yo, young church member, you just got here. We've already tried all that stuff. Stop telling us what to do. And hence, therefore, nothing gets done. But Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. And this is what Peter said. Yo, I didn't catch anything, Lord, but at your word, I will obey. I added a little bit to that. I added some emphasis because you need to understand that Peter was obeying God. And when he was obedient to God, he caught a multitude of fish. So much fish that he had to call his compadres out there to help catch the fish and get the fish in the boat. So much fish that both the boats almost sank. And when Peter saw that, he fell on his face before God and he said, I am a sinful man. And that's the place that we have to come before God, that we recognize that we are sinful people. Amen. Because until we recognize that we are sinful people, we cannot get anywhere with God. And you say, well, but Pastor, I'm already a Christian. Yep, I got you. But listen, James says we must humble ourselves before God so that he can lift us up. We must submit ourselves before God so that we can resist the devil, so that he'll flee from us. And if we will not humble ourselves, and if we will not submit ourselves, if we will not recognize that we are sinful people to come before God, then we cannot get to the place where God can use us. Jesus says, if you come after me, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. If we can't deny ourselves, we have a big problem. And that's where we have our problem. So Peter says, I'm a sinful man. And then we find at the end of that section of Scripture right there, right down at the bottom, we find in chapter 5, at the bottom of there, verse 11, right before verse 11, we find that when they come in, it says that they left everything in verse 11 and followed him. And he picks up some disciples. Then in the next passage of Scripture, in 12 through 16, we find that Jesus heals the first leper. And the title of that message was "To Obey or Not to Obey." That's the question. The leper was told to go to the priest and do everything that Moses commanded. Then the leper refused to do it. The leper got healed. He came to Jesus and said, "I need to be cleansed." And many of us come to Jesus and say, "I want to be cleansed." And Jesus cleanses us. And then he commands us to do something. And we say, "Thank you for the cleansing. I don't need anything else from you, Christ." The problem is that God has commanded us to do something with our life. See, the cleansing is free, but the service to God is obedience. And it requires us to do something for God. And when we refuse to do something for God, we are disobedient. And then we are mocking the cleansing that God has given to us. And the leper here mocked the cleansing that God did for him, because he was not obedient to him. And then in the next passage of Scripture, we find the men that came in verse 17 down here to verse 26. We call that message "Love Squared," that these men, these four men, loved their friends so much that they ripped the roof off the building. And they brought him to Christ. They loved their friend so much that they brought him to Christ. Christ loved him so much that not only did he heal him from his sins, his spiritual healing, but he healed him physically. How much do we love our friends? Do we love our friends so much that we would give up our life for them? Do we love our friends so much that we would bring them to Christ? Do we love our friends that we would rip the roof off a building to bring them before Christ? How much do we love our friends? Do we love our friends enough to even tell them that we're even Christians? Do we love our friends enough to tell them about Jesus Christ? Or do we don't even care about our friends because we won't even talk to them? These men did whatever it took to bring their friend before Christ. What do we do to bring our friends to Christ? What do we do? And so that brings us all the way up here to this passage of Scripture in Matthew. And I want to read it for you. And I know you see a picture on the screen here, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But I want to read you this passage of Scripture. And so if you'll stand with me in honoring of God's Word, we're going to read verse 27 in Luke chapter 5. Starting in verse 27. It says this: "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi," or Matthew, "sitting at the tax office, and he said unto him, 'Follow me.' So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Then Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with him. But the Pharisees, Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus replied to them, 'The healthy do not need a doctor, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance.'" While we were in Romania, one of the tasks that we had to do was to cut wood. And as many of you know that, we talked about this task while we were there. And as you can see here on the screen, you can see that task there. We were cutting wood. Jake, come on. My screen here worked for me. Do something for me. Please. No, get out there. Oh, helps if I turn this on. There we go. There we go. So one of the tasks that we were doing was cutting wood. And we were cutting wood at this house right here. And Christy, which is this guy right here, if you all remember, Christy right here, he's the Romanian missionary that's there. We were cutting wood at this family's house and doing a lot of work here. One of the gentlemen that came there... This is the family that we cut wood for at that house there. We went to this house right here. This gentleman right here was very, very poor. He's standing right there in the middle. He lives in this little shanty with his family. We talked about him. He lives in such a shanty here. He lives with a couple of girls, I guess, and a son. I didn't see any of them. But this place that he lives in is worse than anything I've ever seen anybody live in here. He tried to pay for the wood cutting. He tried to do all kinds of things. He claims to be a Christian. You have to understand in Romania that drinking alcohol doesn't mean you're not a Christian, because they just drink there. That's not a big issue. But when I saw this guy here, it immediately reminded me of this passage of Scripture right here. Some of the people that we went to cut wood for had really nice homes, had good wood piles, had good things. This guy had nothing. And it makes you wonder why we do the things that we do. It makes us wonder, what has God called us for? You can have a seat. You find in this passage of Scripture right here, first of all, that Jesus calls Levi. You find that after the men bring this man into the house and Jesus heals him, it says after this that Jesus goes out and finds this tax collector sitting in his booth, in his place. And, you know, think about it like an IRS agent, somebody who is out doing his job collecting taxes. But these tax collectors are not the tax collectors like we think of today. These guys had the right by the Roman government to not only collect the taxes, but they could do whatever they wanted in collecting taxes. Let me illustrate that for you. If the taxes on you was $10, they could collect $50 from you. There was nothing you could do about it. They could take the $40 for themselves and give the $10 to the Roman government. That was perfectly legal. If they wanted to collect $100 from you, there was nothing you could do about it. Whatever they wanted to do, they could do it. That's the power that the tax collectors had. The tax collectors were ruthless. They were barbarian. They would do whatever, and if you didn't pay, they could just come after you. They were despised. They were people that nobody liked. You ever been there? You been somebody nobody ever liked? And Jesus comes out. And he sees Matthew sitting there, and he says these two simple words to Matthew: follow me. Follow me. Follow me. This man right here walked down the street because he heard our chainsaws. And he asked for us to come cut wood. It was almost like, follow me. And so we did. And he didn't have a big pile. He didn't have anything that was real big or whatever. But we cut his wood. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea for me why, because you know, you've seen the wood piles. I don't know what other pictures are beyond this one here. There's a big wood pile there, and I mean, look at all this wood that we cut. There's some great time there, and there's Tony and his wife, and we cut wood. You can turn that off. There's no more there. I'm going to show you, but you can see that there was lots of great wood that we cut. This is probably the smallest wood pile of all the wood that we cut there. I had the devotional the next day after that. And as I was sitting in the room that evening thinking about the devotional, I came to this passage of scripture and it just hit me. This guy just hit me. And I said to myself, why is that, Lord? Why is that? And I thought about Matthew when he said, follow me, in the simple command of follow me. And this guy said, would you come cut our wood? And we said, sure. And we followed him. And it was just the simple command of Jesus saying, follow me. And notice that what Matthew did, it was very simple. Matthew got up and he did what? He left everything. Everything. Folks, I want to ask you this simple question. Are you willing to follow Christ by leaving everything? Are you willing to follow Christ by leaving everything? See, you can't follow Christ and hang on to stuff. Now, I'm not talking about, listen, I want you to clearly understand something. You're following Christ and leaving everything is what God's talking to you about. I want you to be clear about that. Because I've had people say, well, does following Christ mean I have to leave my job? Does following Christ mean I have to do this? Listen, whatever God is telling you to do when you go to follow Christ, that's what you need to do. If God tells you to sell all your possessions and give it to the church and go to the mission field, then you do it. If God tells you, whatever God's telling you to do, that's what you do. It doesn't matter if you're 500 years old or you're 12 years old. Whatever God tells you to do, then you do that. I'm not the one telling you. You listen to God. Please listen to God. Don't listen to me. You listen to God. But we have to be willing to do whatever God tells us to do. That's the key thing that we're finding here in Luke chapter 5, is that each time God calls them to do something, they leave everything. And the next thing that we find that Matthew does after he leaves everything, after Levi leaves everything, notice what he does. He brings all of his friends to Christ. And I want to ask you, when you came to Christ, as you are a follower of Christ, are you bringing people to Christ? Are you bringing people to Christ? A.W. Tozer said this, in every Christian's heart there is a cross and a throne. And the Christian is on the throne till he puts himself on the cross. If he refuses the cross, he remains on the throne. Perhaps this is at the bottom of the backsliding and the worldliness among gospel-believing believers today. We want to be saved, but we insist that Christ do all the dying. No cross for us, no dethrone, no dying. We remain king within the little kingdom of man's soul and wear our tinsoil crown with all the pride of a Caesar, but we doom ourselves to shadow and weakness and spiritual sterility. A.W. Tozer. Here's what Tozer's saying. We want to be a Christian, but we don't want to do anything for God. What Matthew said is, I'm going to follow Christ and I'm going to bring everybody with me. And he did. He threw a big party. And he put Jesus at the forefront of the party. Now he had Jesus with him. And so he invited Jesus, he invited the disciples, and he said, come on, I'm throwing a big party. Matthew's a rich guy. And so here it is. He's got this big party, brings all the people he knows. Listen, the only people he knows are sinners. And so that's who he brings. And guess who got mad? The Christians. I'll bring it up to 2016 era for you. I mean, in reality, the people that got mad were the Christians. Well, look, Matthew, you're a Christian now. You can't have those sinners at your house. That's kind of like the church. Well, you know, we understand that the church is the place that God heals the people, but boy, we can't have those unsavory characters in our building. Those people with tattoos and long hippie hair and those prostitutes and all those other savory, we just, you know, they can come in once in a while, but And we don't want those people getting saved because then, man, they'll really change stuff. And, well, we can't have those kind of people in the building because they're just, you know, that'll just be out of control. You notice the title of the message is Country Club or Hospital. Because see, what did Jesus say when the Pharisees got out of control with that? Notice that the Pharisees didn't go to the leader and lodge their complaint. They went to the disciples and lodged the complaint. But Jesus said, what did he say? He said, in the Holmans it says, the healthy do not need a doctor, but the sick do. In the English Standard Version, it says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. This man that we went down to cut wood for, when I saw that, that just popped into my mind. Here is a man who is in desperate need of Christ's healing. Here is a man who probably knows Christ, but he is so deep and desperate that he needs Christ to reach down and drag him up out of the pit of where he is. And there's so many of us that even though that we're Christians, we need Christ to drag us up out of the pits of where we are. That we need to fall on our face before God and repent of wherever we have been and whatever we're doing. And there's many of us that don't even know Christ that we need to fall on our face before God and cry out and say, God, I need you in my life today. And Jesus clearly says that the doctor has come not for those that are healthy, but for those that are sick. And I can tell you right now that in the 10 days that I spent at the hospital, I didn't see anybody laying in a bed that was healthy. That every person that laid in a bed was sick. Every person that laid in a bed needed something. Every person. In the 5 days that I spent in the ICU, I saw people that were in critical condition. I saw people that were on their deathbeds. I saw families weeping and wailing over people who were near unto death. I don't know if any of those died while we were there, but I know they were close. There were children there. The burn unit was a floor below us. Listen, the hospital is a place for sick and wounded and dying. And it's full. And our churches is a place for the sick, the wounded, and the dying. Is it full? It should be. Because Jesus has come for those kind of people. Jesus said, I don't need to be here for the righteous. I don't need to be here for those who already have all of the spiritual things they think they need. I don't need to be here for those. Jesus said, I didn't come for you Pharisees who think you're already high and mighty and pious and great and what you think you already know because you already think you've got everything. I've come for those people who don't have what they need. And what they need is me. What they need is a broken heart. What they need is to fall on their knees before Almighty God and confess their sins. What they need is to come to the hospital and to receive the healing of Jesus Christ. What they need is the remedy for their soul. What they need is the medicine. The thing about it is it's a free gift. It's a free gift that Jesus offers. It's a free gift. It's not something that you have to pay for. It's not something that you have to go out of your way to get. It's not something that you have to navigate a minefield. It's not something that you have to go over an obstacle course. It's not something that you have to dig deep for. It's something that you just have to say, yes, Lord, I accept that. The Bible says that all that call out to the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is so great about salvation is that the saving power of God is the same power that will cleanse our life from wherever we've been. If we have anger and hatred in our heart, I can heal that. If we have envy, if we have strife, if we have aught against our brother, whatever is going on, Jesus is the doctor, the physician. He says, I am the great physician, the great healer. And I have come to the hospital. He's the doctor. And He is the only physician that can heal you. I can easily tell you that you can go to doctors all day. Many of you in here have more than one doctor that you see. Those of you that are young don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. And those of us that are old know exactly what I'm talking about. We see at least more than one doctor. And we see more than one doctor because Our primary care doctor is not a specialist. And so we see a specialist, a knee specialist, an arm specialist, a back specialist, because they specialize in a specific field. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the specialist of your soul. He is the specialist of your life. And He alone can deal with every single issue you have. But just like the doctors that we each have here, if you don't go, you can't be healed. You can't be healed. The great thing about Jesus Christ is He does not force Himself upon you. He said to Matthew these simple words, follow me. Matthew had a choice, sit or go. And he chose to follow Christ. And he left everything. Matter of fact, you find in each of the passages of Scripture that we looked at, each of these people had a choice. Peter, the leper, the man he healed, and Matthew. And each one of them made the choice. And each one of them received some blessing from Christ. But they all had to make a choice. And I'm asking you this morning, what choice will you make for Christ? Because the choice that you're making is for Christ. It's not for me. Will you decide this morning to follow Christ? And there's two things in that deciding to follow Christ. The one to follow Christ is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that without Jesus Christ you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man enters to the Father but by me. Maybe you've been struggling with that for a long time. You've been thinking about that for a long time. Maybe you've thought that you know Christ and you've had Him in your life, but something in there has told you, I just don't know if I'm really a Christian. I just don't know. I've struggled with this or I've struggled with that. I've just been struggling with this. And you want to solidify that. And so I want to encourage you this morning to come and say, Pastor, I want to know for real that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm going to invite you to come down and say, I want to know Jesus is my Savior. If you already know Him, that's great. We'll rededicate that. We'll encourage you with that. We'll disciple you with that. The other side of that question is, what in your life are you struggling with that God is saying you need to deal with today? What circumstance, what issue are you dealing with that God is speaking to you right now? That God is saying you need to deal with right now. To walk that path that God has called you to. Because when He said, come follow me, you said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. But then you walked off the path. And we do it. We all do it. But at some point we have to say, I'm going to come back on the path with you, Lord. And we have to get right with God again. And you want to get right with God this morning. Let us praise God with you. There's no shame in that. This is a hospital, folks. This is not a country club. This is God's hospital. This is God's hospital. Come before the great physician and get healed this morning. I'm going to pray. You come. You just come. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing Amazing Grace because God's grace is amazing. And you come. You come and you pray. You can pray up here. I'll pray with you. But you come. You come and we'll talk to you about salvation or whatever's going on in your life this morning. Our great Father God in heaven, as you're speaking to us this morning, as we know how Matthew just walked off and followed you, he left everything and then he called his friends as we should be calling our friends to you. Lord, as you come to be that great physician, that great healer, as we, Lord, have been wounded and just have issues in our life, just a weight and a struggle that you, Lord, have just been dealing with in our life, would we just come and lay that at your feet? Lay that on the altar. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, or two or three or five or whatever is here this morning that is just struggling with just knowing you, laying it in your heart, would they come this morning and say, I need to know Jesus Christ. Lord, your grace is amazing. It's so strong and so true. Lord, would today be a day of great healing, great love. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. In your great precious name. Amen.